Time to talk about preventing and treating dental disease now with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Always a pleasure to have him with us. And certainly if you have some questions about what's going on in your mouth with your teeth or your kids' teeth or whatever, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. Glad to be back.
Nice to have you with us again. The most recent survey by the American Association of Orthodontists shows that there's been a 37% increase in the number of adult patients over the last 7 years, and that growth appears to be increasing. There are now more than 1 million adults in the U.S. with braces.
I think this, my opinion would be that this goes along with the love of cosmetic dentistry that we're seeing today. Mm-hmm. People want to enhance their smiles. They're going through a lot of different procedures, such as whitening, veneers, caps, anything to improve the appearance of the smile, and orthodontics is a big part of that because
sure.
a lot of people's teeth are misaligned, and in order to achieve the best results in a cosmetic situation, the teeth have to be aligned so that it is easier for the dentist to accomplish that job. So that may be part of the reason why there's so many more adults going for orthodontics today.
Would there be medical reasons for it?
There could be. I mean, obviously, orthodontics is very beneficial to correct improper bites and to ease people's chewing and eating as a result of improper bite. So there is a great part to that, too. But that's also part of the increase in the orthodontic field today.
Hmm. Well, we have a caller online, William in Wabasha, Minnesota. So let's go to William now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you.
What can we do for you?
I just wanted to ask if periodontal disease can it be hereditary, or is it basically how we take care of our teeth as we're growing up? And I'll take my answer. Off the phone. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, it's actually a combination of both. There is some indication that the tendency for periodontal disease can be inherited. It's not, I don't think there's a direct connection, but we have genes for everything in our body, and there's probably a gene connected to periodontal disease too. But the greatest part of periodontal disease, except in very rare occasions, is due to inability or the patient's reluctance to properly take care of their teeth and gums. It's neglect and improper brushing and improper treatment of the health of the gums that creates periodontal disease.
Hmm.
But there is a hereditary connection.
And as I think, as we've talked about in the past, there's medical reasons aside from your teeth for having a healthy gums.
Right. The bacteria now that are associated with periodontal disease are known to affect arteriosclerosis, heart disease, and they're doing an awful lot of research and finding out a lot more disease entities that can be related to infected gums. And so it's certainly appropriate for people to take a little better care of their gums and teeth for the benefit of their general health.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Kevin in Germantown, it's your turn now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an underbite, and I, about 15 years ago, went in to find out what it would take to get it fixed. And they said they'd have to take out pieces of my jaw and be wired shut for 2 months. But I know that the process changed pretty quickly. I was just wondering if that's still, if I would still have to have my mouth wired shut, or what kind of process I would need to go through now to have that fixed.
Might be a good way to lose weight, but otherwise it'd be
right.
kind of a miserable.
Well, you know, a severe underbite is a very difficult condition to correct with standard orthodontic treatment, and very frequently people have to resort to a surgical procedure to actually advance the jaw. Mm-hmm. If the lower jaw is much smaller than the upper, that's what creates the underbite. Mm-hmm. And you can't really expand the lower jaw without actually doing some surgery. They do what is called orthognathic surgery, where the jaw is actually cut through and the loosened part of the jaw is advanced forward. This is stabilized with, as he said, interdental wiring. And as after it heals, the jaw is then in a more appropriate position where the orthodontics can be successful. Okay. So it's very rare not to be in a severe underbite situation, not to need surgery.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call for you to join in as we talk about preventing and treating dental disease with Dr. Lowell Lakritz in the Madison area. Reach us at 263-1890. Let's go to Sue in Wausau next. Sue, hello to you.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a neck injury, and it's been 7 years now, and I finally got a clinic here, a lower-class clinic, to look at my teeth, and I have seizures with this injury, and the dentist told me no one will touch my teeth. No dentist will touch my teeth, and I have found that I have tried over the 7 years, and I was just wondering if he knew, if the doctor knew of any way or anyone that would handle this type of patient, because I find handicapped patients don't get the dental care they need.
So you have a neck injury, and that is apparently preventing some dentists from working on your teeth.
Yes, totally.
Well, if a dentist were to work on your teeth, what would be the problem?
From the seizures, I have some of the white fillings on top. Those are fine, but they have broken out all my bottom teeth, my molars, and my front teeth are now worn down so that they look blue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would, you know, I'm not sure why dentists are refusing to work on your teeth. I would feel that there could be something done to improve the strength of your teeth, either with crowns on the teeth or some type of procedure which would enhance their strength so that when you do, and if you do have one of these seizures, it would be something that could hold up under the pressure. Another thing you could possibly do under the circumstances would be to wear a mouth guard of some sort, which in the case of a seizure and the uncontrolled clenching that would occur would protect the teeth. There are mouth guards that can be made to do this sort of thing. So I'm not sure who to talk to about this in your area. Where are you from?
Wausau. I literally have teeth worn down to the gum line where there was partial root canals done, and now there's nothing there anymore.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, it is a difficult situation to deal with, but I would suspect that there should be something that could be done that would help to prevent damage to your teeth should you have another seizure or any more seizures. It's really hard for me to tell, you know, without looking at you or seeing your mouth. But have you seen, you know, various specialists as far as dentistry is concerned, like a prosthodontist?
I saw a oral surgeon.
Okay.
And, not a good meeting.
Okay.
And I saw a regular dentist, my physician, my neurologist. I haven't seen the prosthodontist yet.
I would suggest a visit to a prosthodontist and see if they could come up with a solution for your problem, because their specialty is rebuilding damaged teeth and damaged mouths using various types of crowns and implants and situations like that. And perhaps a consultation with a prosthodontist specialist could be of assistance to you.
Yeah, let's hope.
I would try it at least.
Good luck, Sue. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck.
Difficult problem.
Yes. Kelly in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I am the mother of a 3-year-old, and I, until recently, would brush her teeth pretty much for her. And recently she has informed me that she's a big girl, and she wants to do most everything all by herself. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, she's not getting the job done that probably needs to be done. And just kind of, I guess I'm looking for maybe a suggestion on how much I should still be in her mouth and how much to turn it over to her. And, you know, a lot of times it ends up being a big, nasty fight, and that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Well, I've had some experience with this.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
I've got a 3-year-old, too.
My first suggestion would be perhaps to get her one of these kids' electric toothbrushes.
That's what we got for Emily.
That are available everywhere. I mean, any place like, the, you know, the big box stores all carry them, the Shopko,
right.
Walmart, whoever, Target, and even Walgreens and so forth. But, and that would probably pique her interest, having this mechanical thing, and then basically it does the job without the necessity of the child having the skill to manipulate her wrist and her hand in order to touch all and get all areas of the mouth. All she has to do with this thing is move it around, and it does the work because the head of the brush is mechanical, and it's spinning or vibrating or doing something to clean the teeth. So that might be a solution for her. And then, of course, initially you'd have to watch her to make sure that she does it right and tell her, you know, and guide her as to what parts of the mouth to make sure she gets it all clean.
And what I do with Emily, or what we do at home, Renee and I, first we got her a Cinderella toothbrush, which she electric, which she really liked a lot. We've gotten her another one now. But when she does the brushing, mm-hmm. and then we do a check. And so I say, okay, it's time to check. And then, you know, I go in and Renee goes in and we, sort of hit the...
Like a little extra once over?
Once over. They tend to do a real good job on the front teeth. And if they're right-handed, on the left side of their mouth, but not as good on the right side of their mouth.
Yeah, because they have to turn their hand over to do that.
They have to turn their hand over. So you spend a little more time than on the right side of their mouth. That's what we do. And actually... The little check, okay, let me just do a little checkup. She doesn't seem to mind that as long as she gets the first crack at it.
Right,
okay.
And whoever her favorite cartoon character or tail, you can get Shrek toothbrushes,
you can get
Barbie brushes, you can get, you know, Cookie Monster brushes. Anybody she likes, you can get one that's taken after those characters, and she might really go for that.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks a lot for calling. Lots of experience with that one.
There you go.
Dr. Lowell.
Good to have you aboard, Larry.
Yeah. I could help there once.
You betcha.
Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest today, talking preventing and treating dental disease with him. He'll be with us till 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about preventing and treating dental disease today with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Glad to have you listening in. Lots of people online, so we'll go right to the phones here and to Julie in Madison. Julie, hello. Thank you for waiting.
Hi. My question is about natural toothpaste, things like Tom's of Maine, and I have some friends who just use baking soda on a toothbrush, and I wanted to know, is it all right to use things that don't have fluoride in them? Because my concern is really just using things that aren't tested on animals.
Well, as an adult, you really don't need fluoride in your toothpaste. It's not that effective. It's more effective in basically teeth that have recently erupted, like children's and so forth, although there is some help for adults with fluoride in the toothpaste too. But certainly natural-type toothpaste, which don't contain fluoride or the usual detergents and foaming agents that are found in commercial toothpaste. Years ago, people used tooth powder, which came in a little can, and you would shake some of this into your palm and pick it up with a wet toothbrush and brush your teeth with it. And these powders basically were a very mild abrasive material. Many of them contain baking powder or baking soda. And so there certainly is nothing wrong with using these toothpastes. The object of cleansing your teeth is actually the use of the toothbrush itself. It's the brush that removes the plaque. Toothpastes are more polishing agents and whiteners that occasionally some have in them. So, you know, the use of baking soda or baking powder as a tooth dentifrice is just fine, too.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Laura in Marinette, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hello. I was also wondering about the different toothpaste that you have out there. My problem is tongue sensitivity. My tongue gets real sensitive towards like Colgate or Crest.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I chew cinnamon gum, the cinnamon gets to my tongue. It makes it feel like the taste buds are all swelled up. And then I stop using that, and I go to using like a toothbrush with water and sometimes baking soda. And sometimes chips with lots of spice affect my tongue. What can you use to brush your teeth to get the fresh taste?
Well, you might try using baking powder or baking soda, and also some of the natural type toothpastes that you can buy, or dentifrices that you can buy in health food stores, don't contain flavoring agents or any, like as I said earlier, detergents or foaming agents, and this may be easier on your tongue. If you're sensitive to strong flavors like cinnamon or peppermint or anything like that, try to find something that doesn't have those flavoring agents in it. And using a mild dentifrice, as I said earlier, it's basically a polishing agent. It doesn't really do anything other than help to polish and smooth the surface of the teeth. So it's the brush that does the work. I happen to be a big fan of electric toothbrushes or mechanical toothbrushes, and I think that those, even used by themselves, are adequate to remove plaque and maintain a healthy environment in the mouth. So, you know, just you do what you do to avoid that sensitivity of your tongue.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I try doing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like the fresh taste of having, you know, the mint.
Well, you have to compromise somewhere. You could try to use just a little tiny bit, you know, as opposed to laying a big long strip along your toothbrush. You know, use something about the size of a pea. You'll get the flavor, but you won't get the concentration.
Yeah. Give that a shot, Laura. Thank you very much for calling. And Pam in Spring Green is next. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I've been working with a nutritionist with regard to some GI disease, and one of the things she wants to rule out is infections in other parts of the body, and she's asking me to have a Cavitat procedure. And I'm in outside of Madison, and there are no dentists in the state of Wisconsin that do this thing, and I'm very skeptical about doing it. My dentist is very skeptical about doing it.
I kind of am, too. What is a Cavitat? I'm not even familiar with it.
It's basically an ultrasound type of thing of the jaw. You hold a patch of some type on the outside of the jaw, and there's something that's put inside your mouth, and I guess the machine takes some sort of a picture of your jawbone. It's not something that would be, I guess, done by normal X-ray.
Uh-huh. And what is supposed to be accomplished by this?
It's to detect necrosis. Osteonecrosis of the jaw. Normally they would do it in the areas where you've had a root canal. She's worried about silver fillings and that sort of thing, which I don't have. They've long been removed and replaced by crowns.
Well, you know, my own opinion would be if you have, you know, if you basically have a basic healthy situation in your mouth, as you said, you've had your fillings removed and replaced, you've had other things done to create a healthy environment in the mouth, you're taking good care of your teeth and your gums, flossing, brushing, doing all that has to be done. Just doing a screening for necrosis of the jaw would seem to me, you know, a redundant or useless operation. you know, even if you've had a root canal, root canals don't create necrosis unless the root canal is poorly done.
Right.
And I just noticed Larry is Googling Cavitat here to try to find it. And on the computer.
Finding quite a bit here, but I haven't had a chance to sort of review it yet, but as we talk, I'll take a look here.
Okay.
Yeah, there are some indications, you know, there are some tendencies and fears of necrosis of the jaw caused by continuous use of biphosphonates.
Right.
You know, Fosamax and some of the drugs that are used for to help strengthen bone.
Right.
And there has been some indication that when people have been on these drugs for a long time and they have a surgical procedure of the jaw, even something as simple as an extraction, they can suffer necrosis. It's not something that is commonplace, but it can happen. But, you know, that has to do with an injury or a procedure that would cause, you know, injury to the bone, such as an extraction or oral surgery of some sort. And, you know, other than that, I can't see the necessity for doing some kind of a scan to look for necrosis in the jaw.
Okay, good. Good.
I hope I don't get in trouble with people for
saying
this, but
not at all. She's in California. I doubt you've ever heard of WPR.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Brian in Janesville, it's your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I've had dentures for probably about 18 years, and I've been kind of thought about going to the dental implant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of wondering if you have any information for the area about the time of length of procedure and any pros and cons of that versus dentures.
Okay.
I'll take your appointment or anything off the air. Okay?
All right, that's fine. Let me just comment about dentures themselves. Having worn them for 18 years, you probably have had some deterioration of the jaw because they do cause some bone shrinkage. And as over a period of time, they become looser and don't fit quite as well. The advantage of implants in the case of dentures is very great because what it does is it secures the denture. It keeps it from slipping or sliding or dislodging itself during eating. And the implant technology has come such a long way within the last 10 years or so that there are many types of implants that are used, some which can be loaded with the denture immediately, others which require a healing process, a time for healing. So what I would suggest is two things. Seeing a denture specialist, a prosthodontist, who is a specialist in the art of creating dentures and difficult oral rehabilitation procedures, and then also in a consultation with an oral surgeon, who would probably be the person who would place the implants, although many of the prosthodontists do the surgery and place the implants themselves. But I think that's the first place to go to discuss with the prosthodontist the various methods that you can be used to secure dentures and make them more secure.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And Beth in Richland Center, I think you're next. Hi, Beth.
Well, hi, and good morning, doctor, or it's good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's okay. After 12 already.
Now, I'm gonna put on my home economics teacher hat right now, so bear with me.
Sure.
In the discussion of tooth powder, which I'm old enough to have used extensively.
Me
and,
too.
It's good stuff, and it's very convenient, and mm-hmm. it never squishes out on your clothes.
Right,
and when
exactly.
you're traveling.
Exactly.
In the discussion of tooth powder and baking soda, I think there may have been an inadvertent crossover because you were. It sounded as if you were encouraging people to use not only baking soda but baking powder on their teeth.
I may have said that. If that's what I said. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, please, folks, you don't want to do that. You don't want to start trying to make biscuits in your mouth.
Right, right. Baking soda is the thing to use, yes.
Yeah, very good. And thanks for being so gracious about receiving a little comment from an old home ec teacher.
Oh, that's a pleasure of mine.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks a lot for calling.
I didn't realize I had said that.
I see there are several malpractice suits relating to the cavitat, so I'm...
Ah, okay. well, maybe...
I would need to read more, but I was just looking at some of these. So,
yeah.
I'll be careful and want to do a little research on that.
I'm going to look it up on my computer when I get home. I need to know more about this. It's something that I'm really totally unfamiliar with.
Chad in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Chad.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've actually got a real quick comment on a previous caller and then also a quick question as well. One of the previous callers had... asked a question about how she makes sure that her three-year-old is brushing adequately. And I've recently seen a product in the Target store that's called something about Agent Cool Blue. And I believe it's designed to dye the plaque on your teeth blue so that children can look and see in their mouth that they're making sure they're getting all the spots.
Right. I have become familiar with that product. It is something that does exactly what you're saying. It does stain plaque. In dental offices, we've done the same thing for years using a red material that colors plaque, and we'd put that on the patient's teeth and then hand them a mirror and say, okay, all this stuff that's red is stuff that you have to get off. It's plaque. And so
cool.
Yeah, it's a cool way of doing it. I think that's an excellent suggestion.
And then my other question, I guess, was that in regard to the baking powder, and you had mentioned, or the baking soda, I should say,
right.
you had mentioned that fluoride isn't that important and that kind of thing. What's your thought on using like an antibacterial mouth rinse and brushing with that without an actual toothpaste, but just like switching that in your mouth and brushing at the same time?
Well,
would,
you know,
would that be something?
It I don't think it would be any greater as far as cleaning plaque from your teeth. You could use water and okay. on your toothbrush. But, you know, the antibacterial action may have some effect. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against fluoride. You know, okay. I'm highly in favor of it. But what I'm saying in people who have a problem with standard type toothpaste that mm-hmm. you can buy over the counter, and most of them contain fluoride, a lot of them contain other products to help prevent the formation of plaque, and there are people who are sensitive to this stuff, and if you do have a problem using these toothpastes, then you should use something else. So the fluoride is important, but for someone who can't handle those types of toothpastes, obviously you have to forego the use of the fluoride and use something else.
Thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
A lot for calling. Scott in Watertown, it's your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm in my mid-40s. I have a tooth that is missing. It's a long story. I had to pull it out. I was on a hunting trip out in the mountains out west, and it became infected, and we were, you know, hours and hours from the nearest dentist, and a little bit of liquid anesthesia, and I went and took care of it myself. But anyway, I've gone to the dentist since then, and he says that in order to repair this, he will need to put a crown on either side of the missing tooth and then put a bridge across it. And also, he said, because I've waited a couple years since this has happened, my upper tooth right over this this void has started to grow down into that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims I'm going to need a crown on that one also. And I'm wondering, you know, at my age, how much more is this upper tooth maybe going to move? Is this something that's really necessary for me to do? It's towards the back of my mouth. You can't see it. I've grown used to, you know, having that hole there. And at the expense of that my insurance will cover and I guess not cover, is how important is this to have done? And is there any other alternatives to this?
How old are you, Scott, by the way?
46.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, if losing a lower tooth, a lower back tooth, can frequently cause the adjacent teeth to start to move because the teeth rest against each other and basically stabilize the bite. And that's why the space where the missing tooth is probably closed a little bit. And because there was no lower tooth there, the upper tooth started to migrate down. That's uh-huh. not an uncommon thing to have happen. One procedure is to put crowns on each adjacent tooth and then suspend what we call a dental bridge across that. Another alternative would be to use an implant for a single tooth. That can also be done. As far as the upper tooth, which has drifted down, this could cause interference as far as the design of a crown on the lower tooth, an implant, or a bridge. So something has to be done to level that bite back out. The alternative to putting a crown on the upper tooth would be an orthodontic procedure where the tooth could actually, using orthodontics, re-intrude that tooth back to its original position. This would take some time. And, of course, there would be some expense involved with that. I don't know whether the expense would equal the expense of putting a crown on the tooth or not. That would be debatable or something you could discover by having a consult with an orthodontist to see if that tooth could be intruded back to its original space because it drifted down on its own. With a little bit of help from an orthodontist, it can be put back to its original position. And then a bridge or an implant could be placed on the lower area and create a perfectly balanced bite with it. So I would be, prior to putting a crown on that upper tooth, I'd at least go and talk to an orthodontist about it and see what it would take to get that done.
Is it possible that the implant could be done on the lower area and compensate for the upper tooth?
You could do that, except the lower tooth implant would have to be below the level of the bite to accommodate the tooth on top, which
right.
has drifted downward. That's where the problem is. That's why the dentist you talked to suggested putting a crown on the upper tooth as well to get the bite balanced properly.
And if I left it going and did nothing, I would imagine everything would continue.
It would continue to deteriorate. If it's done so in 2 years, you know, another 2 years, it's going to be double what it was today.
Okay.
Okay.
So it would be a good idea to get it done, particularly if you've got some help from your insurance.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And you're only 46. I mean, you know, you're going to live 30, 40 more years, hopefully.
Yeah. Compared to me, you're a youngster.
You got a lot of life ahead of you there, Scott. Annabelle in Fort Atkinson, it is your turn. Hi, Annabelle.
Good morning. I heard the reference just a caller or two ago about Cool Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there has been a recall of Listerine's Cool Blue.
Oh.
And I'm thinking it was a few weeks ago. I can't give you a specific date. But I don't know that there had been major problems within the state, but they were recalling the product.
I bet if you looked on a bottle of Listerine, there's probably an 800 number you could call to get information.
I would suggest that. Well,
yeah,
again, I had one, and so I have, but I, you know, rather than having some people go out now and look for it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I did not understand that there was a recall of the product, and it might be worthwhile to investigate that before you buy it.
Yeah, and there has been a recall. I just went online.
Okay.
Okay. So in other words, let's forget about Cool Blue then for a while.
Yeah. Thank you, Annabelle. Thanks for that call. And we'll take some more calls. Jenny in Tomahawk, it's your turn now. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a bit of age difference in the man who just called.
Okay.
And I have had a missing tooth for a long time in the upper, and I have compensated for that. And I just, while I was waiting, I cannot put my pointer finger all the way in, but part way in, and it's been gone for years. but I'm 77, and I'm not going to worry about that.
Okay, well,
But my husband has a real problem.
Okay.
He had teeth. Teeth made by the dentist.
False teeth.
Many years ago. And they don't fit well anymore.
Yeah.
And he finds that it's hard for him to chew food. But he is 78 or 79, and he just wouldn't want to spend like thousands of dollars or anything on his food, but it's on his teeth. But still, he doesn't enjoy his food anymore. Everything is very hard for him to chew, you know.
Well, you know, my comment about that is that, you know, age is not a factor when your comfort and your quality of life is at stake. And if he's having problems eating his food, even though he's 89, you know, if he's still got a few years left to his life, and I certainly hope he does.
And 79.
Or 79, pardon me. Mm-hmm. Why not live it in a comfortable and pleasant manner as much as you can? And so I would urge him to at least go and talk to somebody about these teeth and see what can be done about it and find out what the cost is. And perhaps he might decide to make the investment for the sake of his quality of life.
Yeah.
What kind of dentist or orthodontist or whatever
should
he see?
Where are you located?
Tomahawk.
Northern Wisconsin, Tomahawk.
Okay, Tomahawk. I'm not sure. I usually like to suggest a prosthodontist for people who have problems with their dentures, because prosthodontists make dentures more frequently than any other dentist does, and they're specialists in the field, and they're very good at it. And if you have to drive a few miles, you know, to find a prosthodontist in your area, you might have to go. I'm trying to think of the map now, what the largest city you're near.
Wausau.
There's surely a prosthodontist in Wausau. There has to be. And these people are really excellent in the construction of dentures and all types of dental appliances to make people more comfortable and make their eating much more easy. So
It's worth it.
It's worth taking a look and seeing what can be done.
Yeah. Good luck, Jenny. Appreciate your call very much, and I hope your husband gets his new teeth.
Yeah, I would certainly urge him to do something about it. He's still a relatively young guy at 79.
And thanks a lot for calling, Jenny. And Lowell, thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Larry. It's always a lot of fun being here and answering these questions for people.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get you back in a month or so and we'll do it all over again.
Hey, I'm here.
Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison, our guest. Always fun to have him with us, and he'll be back and we'll do this again. Tomorrow we'll talk with author Richard Quinney at 11, and then we'll look at the future of farming at 11:45. Stay with us. Lots in store.